It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Rob Ferret here with Veronica Rickert. Coming up later in the program, we'll talk about the results from yesterday's primary elections in Wisconsin. First, this week has seen a lot of coverage of Robin Williams' death by suicide. Our next guest says it's important to look at how this story and other suicides get reported on, in part so that the coverage doesn't ultimately lead to more suicide down the road. Madeline Gould is with us now. She's professor of epidemiology in psychiatry and deputy director of research training in child psychiatry at the Columbia University Medical Center. She participated in a CDC workshop on suicide contagion and the reporting of suicide. Madeline, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, as I just said, one of the main worries is whether the media coverage of suicide can promote more suicide. Is there research on that? Can that happen?
There is abundant research that has shown that reporting of celebrity suicides in particular has a really a big impact. It's repeatedly been found to be followed by increases in deaths by suicide, which is why I'm so glad that you have invited me, because I really want to share the concerns that those of us who have been really attempting to prevent suicide for decades, need to share with the public. And that in light of Robin Williams being universally beloved and really an inspiration to so many of us, including me, because I'm really quite heartbroken, that it's someone like that who, if his death by suicide is covered in a way that might glamorize the death or sensationalize the death or normalize the suicide, that that's apt to impact on, other vulnerable folks who, might be struggling with similar problems, such as depression, or addictions.
So what kinds of coverage have we seen over the years that does what you just said, that might glamorize or romanticize or even normalize suicide? What are some of the wrong steps we take in the media?
Yeah, well, some of them in certain ways can't be avoided when someone is so well known. But one of the things is just having a lot of coverage, that repeated coverage, front page stories, headlines that say suicide have been shown to be factors that will have a greater impact. Now, in the case of someone so notable, so well known as Robin Williams, that really almost can't be avoided. But things that can be avoided and unfortunately have not been avoided have been presenting and talking about detailed descriptions of the method of his suicide. Many recommendations for safe reporting on suicide, one of the first recommendations are to avoid these detailed descriptions and that you don't want to give specifics of the method and the location, because people who, again, have been perhaps struggling with thoughts about suicide, struggling with different psychological problems that might lead to suicide, are more apt to imitate the actual method as well if they learn about it.
So that's so sad. The coverage could be almost a how-to or creating a mental picture for people.
Exactly. And that by having that mental picture, it also can prime their thoughts so that in addition to perhaps activating thoughts about suicide sort of more, generally, they can now focus on a very specific method. And that can then be a source of rumination or, just continual thoughts about it. And it's something that we really worry about. And that could have been avoided. You couldn't avoid sharing with the public that Robin Williams had died by suicide, because we need to raise the awareness that suicide is a problem. It's a problem, internationally, not just in our country. But we want to focus on ways to prevent suicide. And by you know, presenting a how-to die by suicide in a, you know, in a very lethal means and readily available means is really doing a disservice to all the vulnerable people out there who, you know, people want to stay alive. They may be struggling with this, you know, approach avoidance, a conflict that they have with suicide, and that we don't want to do anything that will, you know, increase the likelihood that they'll engage in a behavior that can actually kill them.
Another issue I wanted to bring up is the idea that reporting maybe in a wrong way can promote misconceptions about suicide. And what I'm thinking about in what I've read is that sometimes we talk about suicide in the media and elsewhere as this consciously thought out decision. You're weighing the pros and the cons, and that's not really how it works, is it?
Not at all. Suicidal behavior is not, does not reflect a rational act. It's not as if someone is, as you say, having the, you know, the pros and cons and making a list of, you know, why are they, you know, why they should or should not kill themselves. That they are in a state of, you know, really altered, you know, cognition, where they may have what's called tunnel vision, where you can only think of suicide as a solution to your problems. And that when we've talked to people who have been very seriously suicidal, and they clearly have many options, including treatment, including talking to, you know, family members, people in their social networks, trying to get distracted, trying to enhance their own coping strategies. There's so many steps that someone can take to try to get themselves out of a crisis. But when you are in that state of mind, and again, not a rational state of mind, you have blinders on. And the only way out that you can see is by killing yourself. So this is absolutely a misconception that someone has made a, you know, a rational decision that, you know, killing themselves is something, you know, that has many benefits compared to the, you know, the costs involved. Again, it's not a rational decision that people make.
One thing that's changed since that CDC workshop I mentioned earlier is the rise of social media. In some respects, we're all the media now. And one image that has come out this week is a picture of the genie, voiced by Robin Williams in Aladdin, with the caption, "Genie, you're free." What's wrong with that? What message is that promoting?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's something that I wanted to bring up as well. By presenting an image that someone who's died by suicide has now solved his problems or her problems and is now free and is out of pain and is in a better place, inadvertently gives the message to other vulnerable people that you too can be out of, you know, you too can be free. You too can solve your problems and be in a better place. And that is certainly not the message that we need to give to folks who are struggling with their own, you know, really severe depressive symptoms and their thoughts about killing themselves. The messages that we want to share is, what a tragedy. What a tragic waste of a wonderful life. What we want to share is, this is a problem that others can help you with. You may not realize it, but you can be helped. There are treatments for depression. There, you know, but it's still a struggle. I'm not going to say it's easy, but that there is help. There are options, and that you are not free. What you are is now over. You have ended any chances that you might have to, you know, to contribute to other people's lives, to have a meaningful life of your own in the future. And that we know from interviews of individuals who have jumped off of, I won't say what bridge, but, you know, prominent bridge in the United States and have miraculously survived, what they'll tell us is that as soon as they stepped off, as soon as they jumped off of a bridge, they are sorry that they've done that. They realize, oh, what have I done? they realize the mistake that they've made. So acting on your suicidal thoughts, dying certainly by your suicide, is not free. That given these, you know, quote, near misses, these folks are so glad to have survived their suicide attempt. They are so willing to share their stories with other people because they don't want other people to make what has turned out to be such a terrible, terrible mistake. That's the message. It's such a waste of a life, and certainly it's not something that people should be emulating because they'll be free. There are other ways, there are other options to solve your problems.
Madeline Gould is with us. She's an epidemiologist and suicide researcher. We're talking about how suicide is covered in the media, how we talk about it in the media, in social media, and maybe to our families, too, after the death this week of Robin Williams. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What have you seen in media coverage of suicides, high profile or otherwise? Is there something that just sounded wrong to you? How do you think we should talk about it? In the news, on social media? How do you talk to your kids when these stories are out there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email talk@wpr.org. We're talking about suicide and the way we talk about it in the media, with our kids, on social media, following all the reporting of Robin Williams' passing. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234 or email talk@wpr.org. Madeline Gould is with us. She has been researching suicide for quite some time now, worked with the CDC on a workshop on media coverage of suicide. Madeline, before we go to our callers, I wanted to talk about the shoulds. We've been talking a lot about the shoulds. What is a positive way for, say, a reporter, a news producer, to confront these issues?
The first should is to share resources with audience and readers and so on, so that folks who are troubled with their, you know, own depression or other problems, or of a, you know, of a friend or a family member, that they'll know how to reach out. So for the past 15 years, we've been evaluating the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline's 1-800 number in the United States. That's available 24/7, and I'd like to share that with your audience. It's 1-800-273-TALK, which is 1-800-273-8255. By calling that number, folks can get resources for people that they're worried about, so that in your community, they'll give you numbers of community mental health centers, you know, and so on. If someone in the middle of the night is having a crisis, you can call. And we know that these services work. They save people's lives. And so they're able to, you know, really work with someone so that you can try to, you know, decrease that agitated state that you might be feeling. So that's absolutely a do, you know, something that we would recommend, to include referral phone numbers or information, you know, as I say, about either local or national crisis intervention services. Another do is to give a realistic image of the causes of suicide, as well as the recent treatment advances. And so one of the things that is so important for the public to know is that suicide is preventable. It's not inevitable. You know, it seems as if it's inevitable when you have someone as beloved as, you know, Robin Williams, who has succumbed to, you know, whether it's depression or addiction or whatever problems he was having. But, you know, we really want people to recognize that, you know, there have been treatment advances, and although people may succumb to the stigma of going to a mental health professional, we would hope that, you know, in light of someone's suicide, that they would really recognize the importance of getting treatment for themselves or for their, you know, children or their spouses or their, you know, or their parents. So those are two do's, you know, provide resources, emphasize, you know, recent treatment advances, and not to simplify the risks or the causes of suicide. And that even though someone is prominent, you know, as Robin Williams is, that hopefully won't, you know, hopefully won't influence other folks. But even what we call suicide contagion is one, you know, is one influence. And that even if the publicity around someone's suicide does contribute to someone's, you know, contemplation or someone's actual acts about suicide, it invariably does so in combination with many other suicide risk factors. So we never want to see a message that just says, you know, someone was bullied to death or bully side, which we've seen, you know, which I'm not saying that bullying doesn't have, you know, play a role, but it's never just one thing. It really is a constellation of, you know, several things that will play into someone's death. And again, to, as you were trying to do, debunk myths in that, you know, suicide is not a rational act. It really is the result of an untreated or undertreated, you know, psychiatric illness. And luckily, suicidal, you know, deaths by suicide are rare. Many people think about suicide, but few people actually act on those thoughts or die by suicide, luckily. So I think that people need to be aware that it's a dreadful cause of death, and it hurts, I mean, so many people in terms of just the enhanced grief. But nevertheless, it is luckily rare, and that with regard to, you know, ways to talk about it, parents and family members and friends really need to get over their fear of asking someone if they're thinking of killing themselves. If you're worried about someone, do it. Go ask them, because asking them is not going to put ideas into their heads. We did research, you know, others have shown you can ask people if they're thinking of killing themselves. And it's something that, you know, is uncomfortable, but we need to get people more comfortable in just being very direct and asking someone that, you know, I see that you really seem to be in so much pain or things so bad that you're thinking of killing yourself.
I want to bring a caller in, Madeline. We've got Paul on the line in Chippewa Falls. Paul, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm a religious leader and have walked with families on occasion, fortunately not very often in my almost 20 years doing this, but there have been a few times, and one of the things I've noticed when wanting to address depression forthright is really strongly encouraging families when a loved one does take their own life to be upfront about it. In the media so often we see it mentioned, you know, died unexpectedly, things like that, and I think it would be so much more helpful for our society to address these concerns forthright if we could somehow in a tasteful manner say, you know, this person took their own life. And just I'm interested in your comments with regard to that.
Paul, thanks for that. Madeline, just a minute or so left.
Yes. Paul, I agree with your suggestion. And given your position as a religious leader, I'm sure you've been, as you say, involved in some very sensitive situations. I think that we shouldn't hide the fact that someone in our family or friend has died by suicide. It's the only way that we're going to raise awareness and then put the resources that are needed for, you know, enhancing suicide prevention and interventions into communities. And to decrease the stigma attached to suicide prevention. You know, clearly we don't want to encourage people to die by suicide, but if we don't raise awareness. If we don't try to reduce the stigma of reaching out and getting help for your, you know, for your depression and other problems, then we're never going to be able to, you know, to lick, you know, this very serious problem. So I agree with Paul that, you know, we need to be forthright so that people, when they are feeling suicidal, don't feel so ashamed and isolated that they don't ask others for help.
Madeline, we're just about out of time. Can you give us that number for people to call for help if they're
Yes. It's 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-TALK. And that's the number from the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And when you call from your community, you'll get a crisis counselor from, you know, your general community so that he or she will be familiar with the resources that are available to you.
Madeline, thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you for inviting me. Thanks.
That was Madeline Gould. She's a longtime researcher in issues of suicide. She's with the Columbia University Medical Center.